Starting? Okay. All right. B'siyata d'shmaya, what we're going to do today, Hagolas Kelim number 2, is we're going to start with a halacha in Kuf Chaf Aleph, in Yoredeya, and then compare it to how it pans out in Tafnun Aleph. What we're going to be doing today, Mirtz Hashem, is discussing Machvas, starting with pans, because there are important yisodos that come out from Machvas. And then we will discuss kashering ovens for Pesach. That will be a combination of almost all of the above. Everything that we've learned up until now, we'll try to apply that. We'll try to discuss also microwaves as well. And then talk about a couple of other practical things in terms of hechsher for Pesach, and then go back to the beginning of Tafnun Aleph to discuss the halacha of Kli Sheni, the beginning of Tafnun Aleph. Okay, so let's take a look first in Hilchos Hechsher Kelim. The Mechaber tells us in Kuf Chaf Aleph Dalet, Machvas Shemitagnim Ba, if you have, first in Yoredeya, if you have a pan that you're frying in, even though when it comes to chametz on Pesach, it's enough to do hagolah. But when it comes to all other isurim, tzricha libun. So, Rabbosai, let's process that together. Why would that be? That when it comes to chametz on Pesach, when it comes to the frying pan, so there it's enough to have hagolah, the Mechaber over here says. But when it comes to shari suring and need libum, what would the svara for that be? Heterabala. Yeah, the chametz bepesach, he would be assuming is heterabala, and since he's assuming heterabala, so then in such a case that even though frying al pi halacha we would look at frying as if it is like roasting, and really if it was isurabala, you're going to need libun, but when it comes to the machvas for chametz, so there it's heterabala, and we discussed in the past the svara of why we would differentiate between heterabala and isurabala. Now, the Gra's already going to point out that a frying pan is a little bit tricky. You could look at a frying pan in two ways. On the one hand, the frying pan is not like a pot. There isn't a lot of water inside. On the other hand, there is oil. So that would be, we're going to see, that might be another tzad to be makel in this case. But okay, so let's take a look and see how the shach deals. Wait, you know what? Before we do the shach, let's now have our finger on two places. What's that? The Mechaber says to be makel by chametz.
That's another tzad to be makel by
chametz. That'd be a tzad to be makel by everything.
So what would be that if we just finished by saying,
no, so I just said that there's another tzad over here. That's all
you
I was
saying. By shari surim, you could do agol?
Right, that would be a tzad to say by shari surim, you could do agol, but clearly the Mechaber doesn't say that, just elucidating the possibilities. So in Tafnun Aleph Yud Aleph, let's take a look by us in Hilchos Pesach. I don't know what to call us. I guess us is in two places, Kuf Chaf Aleph and Tafnun Aleph. So let's take a look at our us of Hilchos Pesach. So the Mechaber there says, Machvas Shemitagnin Ba Muteres Ba'agolah. The halacha is that you're allowed to do agala. Okay. Why is it that it's mutter to do agala? Why would it be mutter? So says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkaton Samachay, Hatam Hanakanal, Share Ofen Boim Mashke. You're cooking with mashke, the Mishnah Berurah says. In other words, the frying pan, we look at it as no different than a pot. That's how he says it over here. Interestingly, the Ramah comments in Hilchos Pesach, V'yesh machmir labein hamachlas, and there's somewhere machmir to do libun. Ach belibin koldu, but they suffice with a libun kal, da'ayim shal yisrof alav kashmi b'chutz, so the Ramah has this chumrah that says maybe we should do libum b'machlas. How does the Mishnah Berurah explain that? Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Samach Vav says Because there are times that we have to be choshesh that there was no water. In other words, if there was water, ein achanami. But there are times that we have to be choshesh that there was no water, and therefore you're going to need libun. Interestingly, though, he only requires libun kal. V'amevin yavin sarachiyun, I won't discuss here, but there are other places that we require libun chamer. And the Ramah goes after Miyot Tashmisha. So Tzarachiyun, that I'm not going to answer why that would be that over here you would be allowed to have a Libun Kal. But let's follow, that's in brackets, that's Mevin Yavin, but let's follow the bouncing ball in terms of the classic Achronim, how they approach this Sugya. The Shach, let's start with the Shach in Yoredeya. So the Shach in Sif Katan Ches says shulein yichametz pesach dai ba'gala. He says kimon de teira bala. V'chein mashra tamid beis yosef. V'chein nirmei lasha mechaber kan. Ulefize gam b'machvas shel chalav o baser sagi ba'gala kimon de teira bala. So the Shach says that based on the above, we would be mazvir that the mechaber is paskening heteira bala, and if the mechaber is paskening heteira bala by chametz b'pesach. So then in such a case, then he says he has another leniency, that when it comes to the frying pan, the halacha would be that all you have to do if you want to kasher it from milchiks to fleishiks, in cases that we spoke about when it's mutter, because there the milchiks, right, we discussed at the end of last year that our minig is based on the Magen Avraham, not to kasher, but in instances where one would be allowed to, all you need to do is even if it was roasted, the halacha would be that you could do hagolah. The Shach though continues, Al b'tshuvas Menachem Azariah kasev atam, but the Rabbeinu Menachem Azariah, he's a very, very important achron, the Ramah Mipano, who wrote both in Halacha and in Kabbalah. So he writes, Mipnei shemachva shel ove kochavim rov tashmishan b'li mayim, ela yedei she'ar mashkin, k'gon shemnu k'domela. Masha'en kein b'machva shel chametz. He gave an entirely different answer, the Tshuvas Menachem Azariah. The Ramah Mipanau gives the following answer. He says, the difference between the two is in Metzius, how they're used. And that is that when it comes to Chametz and Pesach, generally, the way you use Chametz and Pesach is with water. When it comes to the Goyim, when they make their non-kosher food, they did it without Mayim. I'm not sure why that's so, unless it just happens to be that when you make chametz, you tend to make chametz in liquids, in contrast to meat, where you're more likely to roast. But that was the metzius, I guess, when it comes to chametz. You're more likely to make porridge and so on and so forth. When it comes to meat, you're more likely to roast. And therefore, the Ramah Mipanel says that's the distinction. So very, very different than the Shach. The Shach is going with Heter Rabbala. By chametz. According to Ramah Mipanau, you don't need to say that. You'll just say that what we're talking about is with Hagala. Rabosai ask a kasha on the Shach's Mahalach. What would a kasha be on the Shach's Mahalach? What could you ask? Does the Shulchan Aruch go with Isur Rabbala? Hetei Rabbala by chametz b'Pesach? Let's remind ourselves. We're not. Very good. We had Siv Dalet. Excellent. Excellent, Yaakov. We had in Siv Dalet, the Mechaber said, Kelim shen shtamshim b'hem al yideo ur. The halach is tzrichim libud. So to say that the Mechaber holds hetera bala, it definitely sounds like that in Kuf Chaf Aleph. The problem is, so we have Dalet versus Dalet. That's the way to memorize this. In Kuf Chaf Aleph, Dalet, it sounds like hetera bala, and that's how the Shach was miyashiv. Versus Taf Nun Aleph Dalet, there, the Mechaber said that when it came to Kelim Shen Shtamshin Behem Al Yideo Ur, we said the halacha is that you need Libun, which is Mashma Yisur Bal. No jewel will be left behind, Rabbi says. Is that clear? This is very, very important to have these things down. Okay. Oh, so according to Ramah, so according to the Shach, it's a Tzarachim Gadol on the Shach. As far as the Ramah Mipanel, it's no Kash at all. Mahalach number three is the Gra off in Ard, on the land. That's on the land of Kuf Chaf Aleph Dalid in Sif Katan Tes. If anybody knows why in Yoredeya the Gra has Sif Ketanim and why he doesn't in Arachaim, he'll let me know. But because the Gra, by us, there are no, but in Hilchos Pesach. But by us, we do have, at least in Hilchos Hechsher Kelim, you have Sifim Ketanim. So in Machvas, let's do that whole Gra. He says, Kach Kasa Mardechi Sof Avodazar, Usrir Le, the Pramnis Yamishba, Vahavik Teshmish Aydea Art. So he says, the Svara that we saw from the Shach is a Beferish of Mardechi that says that's based on a Terebalah. However, the Rosh and the Rav Yah disagree. What do they disagree? They hold that the machvas you could look at as a kli that's used b'mayim. And so therefore, says the Gra like this, really the mechaber would want to hold that when it comes to a machvas has a dig kli mayim. Because I mentioned to you before, a machvas is not used without any liquid. It's not like a barbecue. You do use it with liquid. It's just not as much liquid. So says the Gra, there's another machlekes rishonim over here, the Rosh on the one hand, the Mardechi on the other, whether you look at it as a barbecue. And really the Mechaber holds that mi'ikur d'dina, we should look at it as a kedera. But it's a sveika d'dina, it's a machlekes. So continues the Gra, avol b'chametz d'belav ha'chi yesham d'chametz nikra etela bala. But when it comes to chametz, you have another tziruf over here. The other tziruf is that when it comes to chametz, that we say hetera bala. In other words, it goes like this. According to the Gra, the third mahalach seems to be as follows: that if you have a machloikis on a din d'oraisa, whether a machvas is considered like a barbecue or is considered like a pot, because you could look at the shemen inside in two ways. So then we're choshesh when it comes to shari surim that you have to be machmir. However, when it comes to chametz on Pesach, on the one hand you have the machlokas whether you look at the pan as a bowl or not, as a pot or not. And then you have another question, and that is, do we say chametz on Pesach is a tera bala or isura bala? So the Gra says that's the reason that the mechaber is going to be mekel when it comes to chametz on Pesach. Now, according to the Gra, it actually comes out quite nicely, because everything works out with Hilchos Pesach as well. When it came to Machvas, you could ask Akasha between Tof Nun Aleph Yud Aleph and Tof Nun Aleph Dalet. When it came to Machvas and Yud Aleph, there all of a sudden the Mechaber was Mekel when it comes to Machvas. He says, enough for Agola, but wait a second. If you're going to hold it to Isura Bala, so then in such a case you're going to have to be Machmir. Ah, the answer is that there are two tzadim, it's a svex, if you will. I didn't see, the Gra doesn't use this terminology, but Lechura, he wouldn't be too angry at us if we would use this terminology, that we would say that it's a svex svek o lahakel, safek whether chametz for Pesach is a terabala or a surabala, safek beis is, do you look at a machvas as a kli or not? Okay, so halacha l'maisa, we have in Shulchan Aruch, that he's Mako. However, the Rama says that that there is an Indian to do a libun kal because we're afraid hashuman. So that would be enough. Vamevin Yavin, the Mechaber and the Rama will also be lishitasim in terms of rov tashmishan. The Mechaber says you go after rov tashmishan, so he doesn't care about the fact that the oil dries out sometimes. While the Rama, who doesn't go after rov tashmishan, he's going to be choshesh for the oil drying out. So let's go for a crunch. Everything we did in five sentences. So when it comes to machvas, there we have the psak in Kuf Chaf Aleph Dalet is that machvas by Shari Surim needs libud, but for chametz and pesach it's enough. Shach says because a terabala. Rama Mipano says you use them differently. Gra says that when it comes to machlas, there's another reason to be mekel because you could view it not as a barbecue, combined with the machlokas hetera bala yisura bala, and shalom al Yisrael, the Gra's pshat fits in, it seems, quite nicely in Shulchan Aruch, and that the Rama seems to be choshish for the miyu tashmisho that is used on the fire sometimes at the oil has gone out. Yes, Mitzvah.
According to the Gra that we saw, that he learns that chametz is a terebala.
No, I would say it like this: that you have a tzad that chametz is a terebala. That's how I would say the Gra.
Oh, the Rama.
Oh, Rama.
Yeah.
Which Rama?
From last year. So he says, "My husband and children are under a law if chametz is a terebala or a surabala. That children are passing these surabala, and their law passing a terebala."
I would say it a little differently. I understand what you're saying, but everything inside. No such thing as Torah Baal Peh. Let's do inside. What you're saying is intelligent, but I'm not sure correct. Tafnun Aleph Dalet. I remember when there was one of the guys that just started learning in my shir, was a second year boy. It was one of my early years I was saying shir. He coined a phrase that a lot of times I would say it's intelligent, but not necessarily right. So he coined the phrase intelligent but incorrect. There's such a thing as so let's take a look at the Rama Ben Sion. So what you're referring to, I think, is Tafnun Aleph Dalid in regards to Liban, right? That's what you're referring to, Tafnun Aleph Dalid. And the Rama said, V'yesh makilim nisnabin kol kach, that he allows for Liban Kal, but he says, V'noagin kisvar rishona. So even the Rama, it seems to be machmir when he says v'nogin kisvar rishona, that, and he says in Lamed Beis, the Mishabur explains Lamed Beis, diladina ikar kedasa mechaber dal chametz mikri yisur abal. So what you said is intelligent, that the Rama records that tafnun aleph dalet, he records that shita, but at the same time he's choshesh for yisur abal lemaisa.
I was referring to when Rabbi explained the sakin case.
Sakin. So
that,
let's go.
Didn't you say over there that the Rama holds the terebala chametz, and that's why he's in Ramega? Does it steer up of Rav Tashmi Shalom
the terebala? But that was the mechaber. The mechaber has a tziruf. Mechaber has a tziruf, and the Rama doesn't object. Right, that's true. That the mechaber that as a tziruf, yeah. That, and that was the Mishnah Berurah's take. But I would not ask Akasha. I would in Hilchas Pesach, I would say that the Rama holds that you have to be choshesh for Yisur HaBal. That would be the bottom line. Except in our case, when it comes to a machlas, according to the Gra, you have that other variable. Yes, Josh?
Just kind of based on that, within the Rama here, why can't you also massage Rav Tashmi Shona Terebal?
Oh, so that's a good question. Tzarech Yun. That was all based on a Hamevin Yavin. You're asking a Tzarech Yun on my Hamevin Yavin. So now we have a Mevin Yavin with a Tzarachian. Okay, very good. All right. Yes?
The Rav Pado, so he differentiates between oil and water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his chiluk. Mr. Bruin Sanafe, which we just quoted, says, Mali Kevin, not Mali Mayan.
No. The Ramami Pano, I would characterize a little differently. The Ramami Pano is saying that when it comes to Isurim, I apologize. I told the person to call me if it's an emergency. Hello? Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. What was the last Nakuda we were on? So I think, first of all, I apologize. Secondly, as far as the Ramami Pano is concerned, so I think that the Ramami Pano's chiluk was just a question of mitzius. That when it comes to isurim, shari isurim, pork, they tend to barbecue. When it comes to chametz, right. In other words, they don't.
They don't use anything.
He's not being mechalik between oil versus water. If you take you'll take a look at his lashon. He's not differentiating between. It's true. He discusses both oil and water, but what his issue is there a significant amount of oil or water or not? It happens to be that one of them happens to use oil, the other water, but the chiluk is not between the oil and the water. Okay, Ramosai, based on the above, we could take a look at the Rama in Sif Dalid, where there we have the Rama's three-word psak.
In
Tafnun Aleph. In Tafnun Aleph Dalid, now we're in Hilchos Pesach. Stam Si'ifim from now on is Tafnun Aleph, until otherwise noted. The Rama says, Chatsuva Sricha Libun. Grates need Libun. Okay, now we understand that. If when it comes to a grate, By the way, the Mishnah Berurah describes it as a tripod. Aryeh was very excited about that. So the Mishnah Berurah describes it as a tripod. That's in those days those were the grates. The grates were tripods, and they would put them on a tripod, and then they would heat up the pots. So the Mishnah Berurah over there says that really that makes sense based on the above. That when it comes to chametz v'pesach, you have to be choshesh. You have to be choshesh for the iser being transferred in. So if what you're concerned about is the iser that's going to be transferred in, so then the halacha would be that you're going to need libum. Oh, if that's so, if that's what's going on, you're going to need libum. So fine. That means our grates, we need to do libun on. Do you do libun on your grates?
Yeah.
What?
What's a grate?
Stove grates. When you put a pot on top of the stove, it sits on top of these metal things. The Ramah's being old-fashioned, the Mishabur's being old-fashioned, I'm being old-fashioned. What we're going to have to discuss is, what's those things called? No. The modern grates. You don't have grates anymore. You put it down, it automatically heats up.
Electric.
There's a term. Okay.
Induction.
Induction, right. That's only for you. That nowadays you have these electric induction. So, in regards to doing what you described, Avi, the blowtorch on the grate, so let's take a look. Do you need to blowtorch your grates? So the Mishnah Berurah points out, well, it could be our grates might be different. And he says as follows. He says, Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Lamda, let's do the whole thing. Mishnah Berurah says, Hu kli sheyesh al gimel raglayim amidina lek kdeiro machlas betanar ala or kol hashana. Yirnotza l'shtamish bava pesach tzorach lamna ala. Fish le pa'am nishpach ala isa. What's the chshash? That what's going to happen is that there's going to be chametz that's going to pour onto the grate. V'nivla ba'atam, chametz ha'idei or. V'zeu rak l'chatchila, but that's only l'chatchila mishum chumer de Pesach. The be'emes, shtei kederos nogos zo bazo, ein yotzos habliya mizo lezo. That when you have two kederos that are touching each other, so then the blios don't go out, one from the other. K'mevur b'yoradei at tzadi be'zayin. V'gam yishlitos she'afim nishpach kfar nisrach. V'holach lo kimen she'bechol shah hi ala esh. So, really, lechatchila, if you have chametz that falls onto this tripod, really the halacha should be that the only way to be machshirit is that you would need to do libun. You'll need to blowtorch. However, says the Mishnah Berurah, he says that's how we're knowing as a chumrah of Pesach. But when it comes to our grates, what's the chshash? What's the chshash? So you cooking your chametz tikka matzah balls on the grate in a pot. Does Iser go from the pot into the grate? The answer is no. Ein Iser Yotze B'li Rotav, says Mishnah Berurah, step number one. He says, step number two, even if a little bit of your chametz is going to spill off onto the grate, he says, but then, Kiman Shebechol Shah Yala Eish, so then V'vada Nisraf V'halachlo, it's certainly going to get burnt. And in other words, what's your concern? Your concern is it's going to fall onto the grate. The fire on the stovetop is going to burn it. Certainly, libun kal is enough. In other words, you don't need to reach the point of libun chum. And he says, and if someone didn't kasher it, it wouldn't be usher. So let's summarize what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, and then let's talk why Lemaisa might be a little bit more complicated in the Mishnah Berurah's case. Mishnah Berurah says that the Ma'aril said we need Libun. He was not talking about, says the Mishnah Berurah, our type of grates, because in our grates that sit right above the fire, notice, Rabbi said, the tripod was different, right? Because the tripod is sitting higher up. So says the Mishnah Berurah, our ones that are sitting right on the fire, he says there are two reasons you could be makel. Number one is the fact that you were cooking chametz on top of it and you didn't put your bagel on top of the tripod. In those days, they would put the bagel on top of the tripod. Here we go. Here's our tripod. You put the bagel on top of the tripod. The fire was all the way there, and that was one of the way of toasting it. So in such a case, then that was mamish the chametz. It's sitting, it's being roasted on the thing. Nowadays, he says, we don't roast that way bread. We have a pot that's sitting, number one. Number two is our grates are all the way in the bottom. All this is gone, and we have something sitting right above. Dr. Frankel's not with us, so there's no problem. So it's sitting right above it. This whole thing is the pot. And so you have the pot. Here's the pot. And then it's sitting right on top of these grates over here. But there's no way that the Isser is going to go. The Chametz is going to go because you have a pot with a solid grate. For those two reasons, says the Mishnah Berurah, that you could rely on Libun Kal, you don't need Libun Chomer, which is a lot easier, which practically means that all you have to do is just turn on your fire, and that Lechura, according to Mishnah Berurah, that would be enough. Turn it on for 25 minutes, a half hour, and that would be enough. That would be even, according to Mishnah Berurah, being Yotze Kol Adeos. However, and now then I'll take your questions. However, when it comes to When on this topic, there are those who say that we should be more machmir. Not because of the part of the pot that's sitting on the grates, but our grates actually extend quite a bit. And it is possible that there is going to be chametz that's going to fall off onto a part of the grate that's not right by the fire. And that part is going to be really chametz thick. And then if you had Pesach thick of food that come in contact with that would be a problem. Now again, it's not so likely that the chametz Pesach food's going to come on contact with it because again, you don't put your matzah directly on the grate. You put your matzah in a Pesach thick of pot. A Pesach thick of pot next to a chametz thick of grate is not going to become usher and it won't make the food inside usher. But nevertheless, that's an issue. Lemaisa, if I'm not mistaken, I heard that in Bergenfield, what's suggested is that, I think I've heard this in the name of Rev Neuberger, that in his shul, what they do is he suggests putting also a blech on top of the grates. So therefore, all the heat spreads out over all the grates. So imagine, right? A standard stove with four fires. There's a better word for that, but there are four fires, right? We have about this distance. One, two, three, four. Then you put one blech on it. So then the heat goes through all of the grates and we'll be able to kasher all the grates. There are others who have said, be very, very, very careful that it shouldn't become a fire hazard because if you turn on all four fires, that is very, very, very hot. So that, just to make sure, if it's possibly one billionth of a chance of a fire hazard, you should know that this is, you already have the Mishnah Berurah, that the Mishnah Berurah was Mako, Mi'ikr, okay, so that's Ramah Dalit in Mishnah Berurah. Derech Agav, or Meha Dvarim Elu, Moreno Rav Miller pointed out that this is why did you ever cross your mind while we were learning Basa B'Chalav how we could use the same grate for Milchiks and Fleishiks. So the same the two Yisodos that the Mishnah Berurah says are the answer to the question. That number one is that there's really no problem using the same grate for milchiks and fleishiks because we paskin anis ayotze bili rotev, aleph. Beis, if you're concerned about spills, those spills are going to be removed immediately. But ein hachanami, if you knew that cheese spilled on a part of the grate that doesn't come in contact with the fire, so then in such a case, you should be careful not to put a hot dog right on top of that area. Yeah?
If you spill something, you should... Wise, you should turn on the...
That would be an eitzah. Yes, if you spilled something, that would be an eitzah. Or just don't barbecue on top of your stove grates. That would be the other solution. Yes, though you have teenagers, you never know what they're going to do. So, yeah.
This doesn't work for barbecue. Like that actually needs
leave. Right, the barbecue is going to actually need leave them. Correct, and
we're
not
clean.
Exactly, and that's right. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see that in Mirtz Hashem at the end of this year. About that, yeah.
There's like this thing that we started using in my house that there's like a sheet that you could put on top of the grates of the barbecue,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to keep cleaning the grates every time.
Mm.
So like the mice, there's really not much food that we really get on the grates
mm-hmm.
because every time you grill, you put this
thing on
sheet
top.
On top.
Sheet on top
it
of
keeps
it.
The grill just very clean, and your food doesn't have all the tar. Like,
and nothing goes through?
Doesn't go through, but like, sometimes like there could be, like when you take it off, or when...
Uh-huh.
Like, it's really burnt.
I would have to see the mitzvahs. It could very well be that in such a case, all you need is a new sheet for Pesach. And once you had a new sheet for Pesach, it could be it's going to be... Also, keep in mind that we don't put... Every once in a while, people put their buns on the barbecue, right? But most people, most of the time, you're using it for non-chametz. So that would get involved with the Rov Tashmisho issue. That if you were makel on Rov Tashmisho, so then there'd be a lot of room to be makel. But you would still need Haggalah. You would still need Haggalah, but you wouldn't have to do Libun and such.
The minhag is not to be makel on Rov Tashmisho.
That's right. We're for Ashkenazim, we saw in Sifkat and Vav that the Ramah was machmir for Rov Tashmisho. Correct? Okay. Yes.
For a stove, instead of the blech, could you cover the extension with foil?
But that gets really hot. I'm worried about the foil like flying up or something like that.
You like to tape it down.
What's that?
You tape it down. Just long
tape it
the
down.
Side.
Just make sure things just don't get too hot. That everything's safe. Yeah, but that would be fine. You wouldn't need it, but just make sure it's safe. Chamirta sakanta misura. Oh, there you go. Okay, so I'm going to have to look at the...
You could also, like, cover the whole thing with them.
Okay, we'll take a look clean out there. All right. Okay, let's get practical now, Rabbosai. Based on the above, all of the above, let's talk... Now let's get practical with today's ovens. So, can an oven be kashered? And in what way should an oven be kashered? I'm going to build the approach based on how Rav Miller said shir on this, in other words, in the Yardei shir. I don't think he's going to talk about it in detail on Wednesday. Maybe he will. Never know. But in his Yardei shir, when doing Hagalas Kalim, so Rav Miller presented that there are three ways that one could approach the shaila of kashering ovens. Let's spell out what is the concern in regards to ovens. So if you use the oven for chametz on Pesach, there are two issues. Many poskim, it's an interesting question why, but many poskim say at the end of the day, when the chametz of Pesach, the chametz during the year spills onto the walls, it could spill onto the walls, it could spill onto the bottom of the oven. And so then in such a case, then you have real absorption of tam chametz through what is essentially a non-water medium, which with al pi halacha will be considered al yidei esh, it will be considered through fire. That would be the issue at play. That's in regards to the food of chametz falling onto the side, splatters, and once upon a time, they actually cooked in an oven directly on the oven itself. Although we're going to see Rabbi Zion Vosner Shlita points out that today that's how people cook, but once upon a time, that was how people cooked. Number two, you have a problem of Zeya. So those are the two issues. Now, there are three approaches that we could take in regards to these, maybe even four, approaches that we could take in regards to this issue. Number one, Rav Miller pointed out that we did have the Mishnah Berurah in Taf Nun Aleph Lamed that said that in certain cases we could be makel due to the fact that we hold chametz is heterabala. This was a Mishnah Berurah Lamed and Lamed Beis, both in Sifim Lamed and Lamed Beis. No, the Mishnah. No, that's not the Ramah holding Heter Bala. The Mishnah Berurah said, the Mishnah Berurah on Lamed is commenting on that Ramah. But he paskins in Lamed Beis, even though that in Lamed Beis he paskins Beferish Sheisura Bala, but he concluded, B'makom Hefsim Meruba, Omania Simchas Yom Tov, Ta'alach, and it's not a Ben Yomo, you could be Mekel. So therefore, Rav Miller said, that it could be that because of Menia Simchas Yom Tov, and it's an Eina Ben Yomo, that we could be Mekel. And I told you that I pulled this out one time because I felt that there was a woman who would mamish not be able to cook properly over Yom Tov. That, and Rav Miller mentioned this as one sad to be makel in what way? That not to have the need to blow torch. In other words, we saw that we paskin mikra dedini surabala, and really an oven should need a blowtorch, but could you heat it up in a more kosher it in a more lenient manner, in a weaker manner? What would be the equivalent of hagala? For sure, hagala or libun, even libun kal would be heating it up at its temperature for an hour or the average time that you use the oven, and heat it up at that temperature, and that would be enough. That would certainly be the equivalent of hagala. Now, Josh, I put it in the for posterity that Josh pointed out last year. I put it down on the, in this booklet that actually our presentation of the Mishnah Berurah is not entirely the case of Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah's case was b'dieved if you already cooked in such a thing. So Rav Miller, in quoting Poskim who were Mekel, was actually extending that. And Rav Miller combined it with the fact that we say another Svara is, of course, to say that we hold Hetera Bala. So you have number one, if you will, Hetera Bala. Number two, we have the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat Lamed Beis, who's Machmir when it comes to Yisura Bala. And he said, but he says, B'makom Minias Simchas Yom Tov. So therefore, what would you recommend? What you would recommend is that people should not use their oven for 24 hours, because this way we make it an Eina Ben Yomo, and then kasher it by heating it up in such a manner. So again, we have on the one hand the shach, everything is connected. The shach that we had in Kuf Chaf Aleph, Siv Dalid, who said, Heter Rabbalah, Chametz Heter Rabbalah, combined, number two, that's a very hard heter to rely on, as we left off with the Tzarech Yun in the shach. But number two, we have the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Lamed Beis. That's the second variable. Yes, Josh?
I don't know if we'll discuss this, but just based on Kabbalah Kachpolto, why would you average...
Very good. That's the next part of the shir. Okay. Number three, the third sad, is the shita of the Minchas Yitzchak that Rav Moshe Feinstein strongly disagreed with. And based on the Prima Gadim, I'm going to show you the Prima Gadim is like Rav Moshe. Well, the truth is, I don't need to show it to you. The Minchas Yitzchak himself is aware of it. In Chela Gimel, Simin Samach Vav, the Minchas Yitzchak suggests the following. He suggests, as Josh had just pointed out, maybe we could say that what does it mean you need Libun Chamor? That Libun Chamor means that when it comes to a barbecue, there the barbecue, since it gets hotter than Hagala, then you're going to need Libun. But what happens if you know the barbecue doesn't reach the stage of Libun Gomer? What temperature is Libun Gomer according to Ramesha Feinstein? 970 degrees Fahrenheit, which is what my kids would call crazy hot. Alright? That's what Libun Gomer is. Ovens generally don't get hotter than 500 or 600 degrees. So what happens if you had a barbecue that doesn't get crazy hot? Not 960. It only gets to 500. So says the Minchas Yitzchak, then its Libun Gomor is 500, 600 degrees. Kibolo kachpolto. By the way, I realize, Josh, the term kibolo kachpolto, to answer, isn't it a beferish term? I realize kibolo kachpolto is used in the context that if it's cold, then you don't need hot. You never see the term kibolo kachpolto used in regards to the difference between hagala and libun, as far as I know. So that's why I was always bothered by it. You have the sort of kibolo kachpolto. So that's the sheet of Minchas Yitzchak. However, Ramesha Feinstein and others disagreed and said that you need, once it's in the league of libun, then you need a full-fledged libun. It needs to be 970 degrees. It needs to be crazy hot. Why did Ramesha disagree? So one of the reasons he disagreed is a beferish of Prima Gadim. If you take a look in your Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Pesach, in Tav Nun Aleph Lamid of the Eshel Avraham, the Eshel Avraham says beferish, not this way. He says, V'im shimei shala eish b'loi mashkit sarich b'isser v'chametz, both for isser and chametz, shei nitzaitzais nitazin. It needs to be so hot that the sparks are flying. That's 970. Afagad l'shimeish b'ein nitzaitzos b'machves. Even if it, when you used it for the isser, it wasn't nitzaitzos nitazin. So the Prima Gadim says, Libun Gomer is a halacha. It needs to read the state of Libun Gomer. By the way, what's the Svara? Once you have Isura Bala, then we mentioned last time, you need to burn out all the Isser. The Isser has to be entirely removed. Not because of Kibolo Kachpolto, simply, that we're afraid that the Blios are going to come back. But the Kli is Asser until you removed it. Until you put it back into the kiln. So this is... the, if you will, this machlokas. So, therefore, we have option number three. Option number one is a teira bala. Option number two is isura bala, but we have the heter niyasim chasyanta fitziru feinu ben yomo. Option number three is no, we're going to do libun gomer, but you've misunderstood libun gomer. You don't understand what libun gomer is. Libun gomer doesn't mean 970 degrees. That's the opinion of the Minchas Yitzchak. In the fourth category, we have the heter of Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal and Yibodel L'Chaim Rabin Zion Vosner. Rav Aaron Kotler is not Biksav, but it is quoted in many Likutim. It is quoted both by Rabbi Eider as well as by Rabbi Riviat. If you take a look in your booklet, you have Rabbi Riviat, he has the stringent view, stricter view, Igros Moshe, and the lenient opinion of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. The best way to understand Rabbi Aaron Kotler and his position is, I think, really the. You know what? It's very hard for. Rav Aaron Kotler was such a giant. I'm not going to speculate exactly. Shita, I'll tell you how I think it's very similar. For what I do know is Rabbi Zion Vosner's position. Rav Vosner, when I told Rabbi Simon that I was had gotten to know Rav Vosner well, he said, "Oh, you could be makel by ovens." Rav Vosner has a long tshuva where he feels that everybody's way too machmir when it comes to ovens. And he points out that, as I mentioned before, that once upon a time they cooked on the bottom of the ovens. Today, people don't cook on the bottom of the ovens. So if people don't cook at the bottom of the ovens, what's the chashash when it comes to ovens? He says the chashash is zeya. The chashash is zeya. If the chashash is zeya, so then zeya mehechi tesi, that when it comes to zeya, you're going to need libun gomor. And Rav Vosner even goes further. Rav Vosner says, since the walls of the oven heat up, it's different than the case that we have with the Tshuvas Harash that we learned in Hilchos Basar V'Chalav when he's Choshish for Zeya. Because when it comes to Tshuvas Harash, you have milk, and then above it you have something of fleishiks above. So there's nothing that's preventing the Zeya from absorbing into the fleishiks. But what happens if the walls themselves get extremely hot? The walls themselves burn the Zeya before they can even get in. So Rav Vosner holds that one could be makel in many instances. So if you take a look in your booklet, I photocopied it. It's a 15-page tshuva. It'll be my pleasure to send you the whole tshuva, but I just didn't want to have to put it all in. But in page number two, he makes my point, that the point that I made about... the difference between once upon a time the way they cooked, and that's why the earlier poskim were concerned when it comes to ovens. But today, since the only issue would be, he says, the racks, but and the walls, he's not concerned. Even for splatters, he's not concerned on the walls. The Rev Jachter Shlita in he's Kol Torah. That's a TABC, right? Okay. So Rabbi Jachter points out this machlokas. Let's take a look at Rabbi Jachter.
One of the walls heating up?
Oh, once it's heating up, so then the moment in which the Zeah hits it, there, it's a real, real. It's burnt out immediately. Mm-hmm. It's not. It doesn't. It doesn't have any chashivas.
Why are we not worried for the splash of the pumpkins?
Oh, so let me make that point. So you're mechaving to your landsman. That's Rabbi Jachter says. That's the reason why Rav Moshe was machmir to libun gomur. He says, if you take a look, it seems that libun would be required. Page 5 of 8 in Kol Torah. It seems that libun would be required because absorption of the chametz in the oven walls took place in the absence of a liquid medium. What's he referring to? Presumably, he's referring to, as far as I know, he's referring to the splatters. And that's the mashmos. And he quotes the strict opinion being Rav Moshe's position. And that's definitely the mashmos of Rabbi Ribiat's presentation of Rav Moshe. Sounds like that Rabbi Ribiat holds that Rav Moshe was concerned with the splatters. And therefore, on the splatters, and he did not go with Rabbi Vosner's point that it's easily burnt out. And so Rav Moshe held that you need 970 degrees. However, Rabbi Jachter quotes that Rav Soloveitchik was also of the position like Rav Aaron Cutler, that as long as you heat it up to the highest temperature, so then in such a case, that would be considered like it's Libun Gamor, because it doesn't get hotter than that. You don't have a halacha called 970 degrees. It could be medayik, Josh, in Rabbi Jachter's language. He says, kederech tashmisho hagolosa. He doesn't say kibolo kachpolta. They don't use that term because it was taka not used in that context. So we have, this is nahara nahara upashte. I would definitely encourage, if a person was asking what type of oven to buy, lechatchila, encourage you to buy a self-cleaning oven. Self-cleaning oven goes up to 970 degrees, and that would be Shalom al Yisrael. But if a person is not able to do it for whatever reason, and many different reasons why, in such a case, then I would say that they could heat up the oven. The minig in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Miller, when he was giving you shiurim, Rav Miller said that you buy in Eretz Yisrael, people buy inserts. He says it's common in Yerushalayim to see everybody walking with these big plastic boxes before Pesach. That's inserts to put into their ovens. Kimdumani that my mother, may she be well, did not cook, did not use the oven over Pesach. Pasha just didn't use the oven over Pesach. But that's the old generation. I don't think it's. That's right. But oh, what's the difference? Because that's my mother. It's a holy person, an average woman in the community. That shouldn't be a drisha, especially if she's going to try, doing what she was doing in the oven in the toaster oven. So in such a case, I think she did most of the things beforehand, and everything else she did on the stovetop. I think that's. I have to ask her. It's been years now. I have to ask her. Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy, but I just Googled self-cleaning ovens. It says it gets to 800 to 900.
No. I'm not disagreeing with Google. What I am saying, Vincion, is I definitely saw those who assumed that it does get to 970. Who did I see said it? Who did I see say it?
I got 932.
932. Okay, 932. So maybe Rav Moshe is 930, not 970. Yeah, Rabbi Ribiat definitely says that it gets up to Rav Moshe's shear. So you could take a look over there. It's not in the photocopy in front of you, but he gets it. Rabbi Ribiat did the cheshbon. So if you take a look, he'll do it. But thank you for being mayor of that. Maybe Rabbi Jachter also has it, has the numbers. Either way, whatever qualifies as leaving
the number. The number might not be 970.
Might not be 970, correct. Take a look over, take a look. I thought I saw that number somewhere, but I could be could be that I'm mistaken as well. But I definitely recall that the number was in the 900s. So that would be different than your quote, than Rabbi Google. Yeah?
To clarify, when Minchas Yitzchak Svara doesn't solve this spill issue.
The Minchas Yitzchak, no, it would solve the spill issue as well. Why? Because the moment in which you heat it up to its highest heat, so then that's going to be its Liban. That's going to be its particular. That's going to be its particular Liban.
You had something about Kol.
Doesn't matter, because Minchas Yitzchak says that if I know the barbecue got up to 700, not higher than 700, so then in such a case, then all I have to do is get to 700 according to the Minchas Yitzchak. Yes.
I didn't see the Rav Moshe inside yet, but Rebbe on the Shiro 700. In this Rebbe quarter, Rebbe wrote up. Pulam benochus pesach shalavir that some Yehudi shagro and Rav Moshe paisim zich 700 miles. A pilu b'shetan araki dila 500 miles.
Right, right.
So maybe she'll leave in Chamor 700. That's the Shiro that we're looking at.
I'm not. I don't want to say a Shiro without looking back. What this says is that you need. He does say that you need 700. I've seen other books that even have a higher number. Okay. Okay. So that's in regards. Lee Nether, I'll get back to you with the exact number.
I think it's on the Kol Torah. It says the Shachter and Rav Willig hold that the consensus is that Nitzotzos and Tazim is accomplished at 007. Much of what that is. Isn't that 700 backwards? Degrees Fahrenheit?
Uh-huh. So that would be 700. See, however, for a 5-0 descending... Right. That, I think it is 700 backwards. Right. And that will work well with that number 700 before. But let me get back to you for the exact number. Okay. So... Yeah, self-cleaning ovens get up to 900. That's where maybe that's where in my head I got the number 900 from. Okay, yeah. So that's in regards to ovens. I think we covered all the bases in regards to a microwave. So here we have something very interesting. Rav Vosner concludes his tshuva and he makes two points. This is page 13 and 14, Rav Ben-Zion Vosner's Tshuva. He makes two points. Number one, he says he doesn't want to use his heter for ovens in industrial settings. Like, he says, caterers, schools, and so on. He says, because there it's much more likely to have splatters. So then, for him, that's already, once you're starting to have these splatters, so then in such a case, then... He says you're going to have mamashos. What's his concern with mamashos? He says the me'achar sheshchiach ben shiorim ma'achol v'shumim be'en chazarnu l'ikra d'dina. Then in such a case that it has a din of like the old ovens that the Magen Avraham speaks about in Tav Samach Aleph, and then you're going to need to heat up the bottom of the oven. It sounds like for Rabbi Zion Vosner the one possibility of a spill once a year is not going to be enough. But if it happens often, in such a case, you're going to have mach. And then he's lishitaso in regards to microwaves. He says, for this reason, he says he doesn't like kashering microwaves for Pesach. For two reasons. Number one, I would add, also there is much more, you're more likely to have spills in microwaves, even more likely than in ovens. Or yesh ladun. Okay, but number two is, remember, Rav Vosner very much was into the idea that the walls of the oven are really hot and they burn the zeya before they even come in contact with them. And he says when it comes to microwave oven walls, those don't get as hot. The walls themselves don't get as hot. And therefore, he says that a microwave oven really, l'chatchila, one should not use for Pesach. However... There is, and it's not, and really shouldn't even be kashered for Pesach. However, there is a logical tshuva, very interesting give and take, in the Yalkut Yosef. The reason you have a funny photocopy is that my edition, Yalkut Yosef at home, for those of you who are familiar with Yalkut Yosef, there's the red edition, there's the black edition. The yeshiva has the black edition. I just realized today that the black edition is not as full as the red edition of the Yalkut Yosef. I didn't know that. So I had to call my wife and ask her to take a picture of my Yalkut Yosef. I assumed I was going to use the yeshivas. So in the red edition of Yalkut Yosef, it has on page Taf Resh Dalid, after he has the Psak on page Shin Samach, he has tshuvas in the back in Taf Resh Dalid. And in his tshuva about microwaves, he said his father got upset at the Yosef boys that they wrote a tshuva. Interestingly, Chacham Avadia was a big makel, but he records that his father got upset at them that they were makel in regards to microwaves that you could kasher on Pesach, and the way to kasher it is by heating up water inside the microwave with a davar apogen that we're going to discuss in the future. We've touched on this already, that if you're poging the tam chametz, so then in such a case, then that would be a enough. Let me see if I can get a quote, just a second, if I can get a quote for that, if I, over here, if I could find a line that says that. The page I photocopied over here doesn't have it. So the way in which one would do it is one would be pogame you would have let's say soap. You would put soap into the water and have soap soapy water. You would run a cycle with that, and then according to many, if you kasher it again. After the Isser was Nifkam, whatever was in the Zeah that was in the walls of Nifkam, kasher it again, run that a second time would be one of the ways that would be suggested to do it. So his brother, he and his brothers...
Regular water a second time.
For the amount of a regular cycle, an average cycle, whatever you normally do in a microwave. In other words, as long as you normally cook the food. One of his brothers suggested that, and his father got upset, and his father called him into the office and said, I heard that you would just make to kasher microwaves. He said, what about the spills in the microwave? They spill against the wall. So they said to their father, but it does, most of the time, the microwave doesn't spill, and the main chash is only the zeya. And for zeya, this should be enough. And for the one-time spills, they argued... In such a case, we follow Rov Tashmisha. So that's a good argument for Svaradim, that for the concern of, for the Zeya, you take care of kashering with the Zeya. Kederech Tashmisha, kach hagalasa. And you could be, and being pogame, that is also Eitzah. And finally, for the spills, for the Svaradim, you would follow that leniency. And it is interesting that I haven't found a lot of poskim that are makel except for one, that I'll share with you in a moment, there are makel when it comes to microwave to follow Rov Tashmisha, because we saw Ashkenazim don't follow Rov Tashmisha. However, Rav Heinemann from the Star K has an interesting ha'ara. Rav Heinemann points out that when it comes to the microwave, he's not convinced at all that the walls ever reach Yad Sod Ledes. In other words, do microwave walls really get very, very hot? So Rav Heinemann suggests that it could very well be that they don't get very hot, and therefore the halacha would be that one would be able to be meikel with the microwave for that reason. So you combine it with the idea of Zeya, combined with that's not Rov Tashmisho, and I think if you take a look at the Star K. That's Rav Heinemann, right? That the Star K's website, I think they do allow for the kashering of microwaves. So Nahara Upashte, even Rav Ozner is a big makel by ovens, is machmer when it comes to microwaves. You could argue the Rov Tashmisha, but for Ashkenaz it's a little more complicated. But Betziruf, Rav Heinemann's argument, and especially then all you have is Rov Tashmisha, in such a case that would be enough. Yeah?
Rav Heinemann doesn't solve the spill.
It does, because what's the solution? The solution is that, the spills that are hot.
Yeah,
the spills that are hot doesn't solve the spills that are hot. Nachon. So on the spills that are hot, the solution would be just to use a different platter. right? You have the plate that turns on. So if you have the if it's easy to get a different one, then that would solve that as well. Okay. Yes.
What does makel mean there? Like.
So makel means, and when I said makel, that he would allow you to like, to cut. No, kosher. Just the you're kosher with hot water. Correct.
Soapy hot water?
So soapy was Rav Avad Yosef's sons. That's what they suggested. I don't even know if the Star K even requires that. Just to run a cycle of water without even needing to be poking lechatchila. Yeah.
Those that use microwaves both meat and dairy and use those plastic covers
right.
to stop the zayek from out.
L'chura mi'ikr d'dina. If you had your chametz covered, then it should be matzah covered. It should be fine. Should be fine if you covered your matzah, and certainly if you covered, you always covered your chametz.
If you always do it,
right? The problem is whether a person's really successful doing it. But if someone's really successful doing it, then no, that should be fine. That should be fine. Yeah.
Is Rav Lesna also making basa b'chada?
Yes.
He is.
He's more exactly. Rav Lesna is more mako. The truth is, I knew the tshuva. I just forgot to discuss it when we were doing basa b'chada. Yes, he is. Okay. There's another related to all the above is in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's see where Zeh is discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, so you're able to point to a place. In Shulchan Aruch, if you want to be ma'ayin more into it, Se'ifim Yudalid and Tesvav, we have the concept of Zeya. Also in Hilchos Pesach, we learned about it in Bas V'chav. Now we see in Hilchos Pesach, Kisui Shel Barzel Shemichasim Bo HaKedera. If you have a cover, a steel cover that covers pots, Sricham Tzarech HaGolah Kivan Shemizia B'Kol Shom Mechom HaKedera. Since there's Zeya that goes up onto the top of the cover. Vimnasnua bepesach ala kedera below hagala kol atavshul aser shezeas hakisui misarim betavshul. So this is the source of the problem of zeya.
Where is
it? Tafnun aleph yud dalet. And therefore, the halacha would be that if you have something that had zeya, so then how would you kasher it? All you would need is hagala, which is what we saw. Then comes the microwave, maybe that will be enough. The Mechaber then adds in Sif Tezvav, Kisui Shel Barzel, Shemisimim also Al Harara, but if you have a cover that's put on top of a piece of bread, Kishenefes Al Kira, that it's being cooked on top of the Kira, Tsarich Libun, in such a case, then you need Libun. Why? Because there it's coming in contact with the Harara. It's coming in contact with the piece of bread. So then once there is contact, so then it has a din of barbecuing, and then the halacha is that you're going to need libun. And so that's what we saw. We saw when we were talking about just the zeya, then we would be enough to do hagala. But if we're talking about the spills, so then in such a case, then there's a bigger issue. Okay. Let's wrap up. It's late already. Let's wrap up with a very straightforward halacha in Sif Chaf. The Mechaber says, Hashulchanos va'atevos. If you have tables and boxes, Shemetzniyim ba'am acholin kol hashana, that you normally put food inside of it throughout the year, Regilim la'aros alam roschim, our custom is to pour hot water on top of them, because sometimes the soup, the chametz tikka soup, spills on top of them. So this is very, very, this is the halacha for counters and tables. What's the halacha in terms of counters and tables? So mi'ikr d'dina, one would need to do hagala, because to say that things don't spill there is not so likely. They do spill. Ah, where does it spill from? Says the Mishabur Sifkat and Kuf Yudalit, Mikli Rishon. Pour from a Kli Rishon, says the Mishabur. But that's going to only work to do Hagala if it pours from a Kli Rishon. You have soup, Chametz Tikka soup, that pours onto it. But what about hot pashtida that you put directly onto it? Then in such a case, it's not enough to do hagala. Then how do you do it? How do you kasher? Ele yachshirem al yidei evin meluban. You put a scalding hot stone, you heat up the stone on the fire. So then in such a case, if you can't use a blowtorch, it's not necessary, you use what's called an evin hameluban. So if you know that you never put hot chametz, solid chametz down, that was straight from the oven, where, in other words, it has a din of a kli rishon, so then in such case you would be able to do hagala. If you know that there are times you put chametz directly down, so hagala would not be enough. Lemaisa, most people do not, I guess the one exception would be toast. If a person puts hot toast, really hot toast, yatzel lettuce bo toast onto their counters, then that would be a problem. But otherwise, aside from toast, the halacha would be that you could do hagala on counters. You should know, here in Eretz Yisrael, many of the counters, though, are made of artificial. We haven't discussed what type of materials are hagala-bull. There's some that you can't do hagala on. But when it comes to many counters that are made of natural stone, which you can do hagala, problem is the artificial stuff you can't do hagala on. That's the problem. But you could do hagala on wood and so on and so forth, assuming that it's hagalable. So then in such a case, what you would do is you would pour hot water on it, unless you're an Ashkenazi that knows that you are times you put the chametz directly on it hot, even if you don't do it all the time. Ashkenazim have to be choshmiyu tashmisho. If you're Svaradi, you could still do agala unless you all the time put hot bread on top. So that's the halacha of shulchanos and tevos. What does it mean practically? We haven't got fully practically to it, but I'll take your questions. Yeah?
What's this new category that's not bigwood and it's not hagala?
The evin amaluban works in a case of where something like a pashtida, then that's the evin hameluban is in place of libun when hagala is not enough. So you could put the evin hameluban on top. That's right. It's not in the Gemara. The Mishnah Berurah has it in other places as well. During Seder, I'll show you other places where he has it. Right over here, you could be makel because this is not. It was not ala esh. We're not talking about. Remember, the chametz came from a kli rishon. It's not the same thing like a barbecue. It won't work on a shfud and an askala.
Why is it going not working in this case?
Because it didn't come. It didn't come through a liquid medium. Since it didn't come through a liquid medium, that's not going to be. It's not going to be enough just to do hagala. Yeah.
Why is a wood table any different than a kli charis?
Chazal said kli charis any yotzimi de dofio la'olam, and woods can. I think there is a difference in Matthias. Kli charis holds the iser a lot deeper than even wood does. Yeah, it does. It does. Okay, so that's in regards to the basic rule according to Mishnah Berurah. What about lemaisa? So what does one do lemaisa? So Rav Nevinzal Shlita says that here you have in the Haggadah Shel Pesach in regards to the shayish is the countertop on page Chavches in Rav Nevinzal's Haggadah. He says Mishitche shayish b'mitbach roi l'nakos heitev. You should clean it. V'laros mayim roschim ulitzapot. He says to pour hot water on top and to cover it. Why does he want to do both? Because I think he's concerned that if you put down hot chametz and it's not easy to do this whole thing of evin hameluban, so he suggests doing both. He also says when cleaning to be pogame everything lechatchila. I've mentioned this to you in the past that to use economica, something that's pogame, that is also suggested. Now, you could have argued that why can't we just cover, many people say this to me, why can't we just cover the countertops? And the answer to that question is l'chura yes. I'm not sure. I guess we could ask Rav Nevinson why he said to do Hagola and to cover it. With Rav Nissim Karelitz on page Kuflam Beis in the Chut Shani and Ilchus Pesach says that if you cover the counters and you cover the tables with a thick foil, a thick cover, then in such a case there's no need to even kasher. So many do that as well. Especially, as I mentioned, there are many countertops that can't be, that are not kasherable, and that we'll discuss down the line. So that is what's done. Okay, Mirtz Hashem, next time, I didn't get to finish Taf Nun Aleph. Mirtz Hashem, next time we'll pick up with Taf Nun Aleph. Yeah?
So what's the difference between like a Pashkido and then the super hot, whatever companies that spilled on? What's the difference?